Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research and quality after school practices. This podcast is brought to you by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Michael Wilson. Today we're going to discuss the summer learning loss theory. We'll talk about just exactly what it is, how does it affect students, and what can be done to prevent it. Summer is a great time for many kids. They get a break from the rigors of going to school every day and get to enjoy their summer vacation. However, this time can also have a negative effect on their academic learning. Therefore, the subject of today's podcast is to discuss the summer learning loss theory. Most researchers, academics, and educators refer to the summer learning loss as the degree to which students lose academic abilities during the summer months. To get a better understanding of this effect, I've interviewed people with experience in this field. Now joining us to add her expertise on the topic of summer learning loss is Dr. Megan Kuhfield, who works with the Northwest Evaluation Association. Dr. Kuhfield has done research on the topic and has a unique perspective of the effects of the summer learning loss. Dr. Kuhfield, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing real well. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you for having me.
My first question is, just what exactly, in your opinion, is the summer learning loss?
So summer learning loss is a term we use to refer to the phenomenon of kids losing academic ground during the summer, so losing some of the knowledge and skills they had gained during the previous school year. We often call it summer learning loss or summer slide, and what results in is that students have to come back to school with not having some of the knowledge and skills they gained during the previous school year, resulting in teachers having to do some sort of review and prep work so that kids are then ready to start learning the new materials.
Very interesting. Well, my next question is, are there any particular demographic groups that struggle more than others with this issue?
So a lot of our kind of really foundational literature on this topic found that low-income students were most at risk for summer learning loss. Particularly, we saw this difference in reading, whereas middle and upper class children were not showing the same patterns of loss and even sometimes showing gains. But in my more recent research, using data that was collected, I should say that study was the kind of foundational work on this topic was really studies that were collected in the 70s and 80s. And more recent work has found that while there are small differences by socioeconomic group, it's not quite as extreme as people had once thought in terms of the gaps between low and high income kids growing larger during the summer, though we do still see patterns of lower income students being more at risk. And in my research, I've also found that we don't see very big differences by racial ethnic groups in terms of who's losing ground during the summer. But we do see differences by gender, where boys seem to be more at risk for losing both academic ground in math and reading relative to girls. And the kind of final difference that I've looked at in my own research is to compare students' summer learning loss between kind of the early elementary grades, which is where we typically have studied summer learning loss more heavily in the past, all the way through middle school, where we know a little bit less about what happens. And I actually find that middle school seems to be a time in which students are losing more as a proportion of the gains that they had made during the school year than the early grades. So even though it's not an age group that we focused on as much in the research, it seems to be an age group that's particularly at risk for losing a higher proportion of the academic gains they made the previous school year.
That's very interesting. Are there any suggestions or remedies that either parents, out of school or after school summer programs may be able to do that might solve this little dilemma?
So one thing that's just really important for, I think, parents and teachers and everyone to keep in mind is that the more that students stay engaged in sort of academic work during the summer, usually the better off they are. So whether that's going to the library or participating in just reading books for fun or participating in reading programs, that's one of the best things that we've seen that helps really prevent summer learning loss. In reading is just continuing to read during the summer. And there have been a lot of programs that have been developed to do books at home and kind of more home learning programs as well that have shown some success in preventing some reading loss. The math skills aspect of thing is harder. You know, we see a little bit larger summer learning loss typically in math, but parents usually aren't as well equipped to do the kind of math work during, you know, they're just not usually as knowledgeable about how to do that. So that's something I think where we need to work on solutions for how to best help support parents bringing math kind of into everyday life during the summer months.
I can see that math can be a problem area in the summer, since a lot of parents and even out-of-school practitioners may not really be that strong in math themselves. Dr. Kufield, thank you so much for participating in this discussion. Do you have any last comments for our listeners?
No, I think, you know, I think this is a really important topic, and, you know, I'm glad to hear that people are interested in how we can best support kids after school and during the summer.
Okay, well, we appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next guest on the Making After School Cool podcast is Christina Hanger with the Dallas After School Network. Christina, how are you today?
Very well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing real good. Thank you for asking. So can you tell me a little bit about your experience working with programs in regards to the summer learning loss?
Yes. Within Dallas County, I'll tell you that our third grade reading results are not great. So only 38% of third graders in Dallas County are reading on grade level. And if you do any research around literacy, you know that's the point where kids need to be on grade level, because after that they're reading to learn and not learning to read.
Right.
So our numbers, 38% of kids being, you know, reading on grade level at third grade is pretty low. And we also know that from the national research, and Johns Hopkins did probably the seminal study about it, is that low-income kids lose on average 2 months of literacy skills every summer. Middle-class kids tend to hold flat, and so that cumulative summer learning loss for low-income kids just means that's why some of them aren't reading on grade level at third grade, and why they will probably never get to grade level. So we decided that we wanted to try to provide some supports for our program partners, because literacy is complicated, right? And a lot of after school and summer camp staff they're not trained literacy teachers. I don't remember learning to read, but it's like a lot more complicated than I remember it being. So we wanted to do something and provide some supports to our summer partners around literacy. So we came up with a program we called Tackle Summer Slide.
Okay.
Program partners that are in Tackle Summer Slide are required to have their kids do two things. So we focus on kids entering kindergarten through entering third grade, and each week those kids will spend 2 30-minute sessions on a computer using the iStation program, and then they'll spend 2 45-minute sessions in a small group, 5 or 6 kids, with a certified literacy instructor who will be doing small group lessons with them. And we combine both the computerized instruction and the small group with a certified skilled literacy professional. We think both are important and both are needed. iStation gives us scores and results and data around what children are specifically lacking, you know, what specifically do they need intervention on, and then the tutors who have that more advanced skill set in how to teach kids to read can look at the iStation results and know what kind of interventions to plan and to have for the kids. For the last 2 years, the children that we've had in this program, 70% have had over 70% have had no summer learning loss, so they haven't had any drop-off in their skills, and we run the program for about 6 weeks. And also the last 2 years, over 50% of the kids have gained literacy skills in 6 weeks' time. So we're really excited about that. And this year we've got 1,000 children that will be across, I think, about 10 different summer partners will be having this Tackle Summer Slide experience. If anybody listening to your podcast wants to know more about what we're doing and more specifics on either Tackle Summer Slide or RISE program, we're happy to reach out to us, and we'd be happy to talk to them about those efforts.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your input on our podcast and the information and your willingness to share it with others. We look forward to following up with you in the future to find out how well the program went this summer. And again, we just want to thank you for participating on our Making After School Cool podcast.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Making After School Cool podcast, where our topic was dealing with summer learning loss. I want to thank our guests, Dr. Megan Coolfield, the Northwest Evaluation Association, and Christina Hanger with the Dallas After School Network. Please join us on future podcasts as we continue to discuss issues that are prevalent to out-of-school time fields.